Hello, listeners. Thank you for tuning in for another Hour of Power. And of course, it's your Hour of Power, and I'm your host, Miranda Campbell. I'm so happy to be with you again on tonight. I've been away for a couple of weeks, and I missed you so very much. And tonight we have a great show in store for you. I want to thank you again for listening and tuning in. I want you to strap in your seatbelt and get ready to take this ride with us this evening. Once again, thank you for listening. And you know our goal is to educate, empower, and entertain you. We want you to be a fully functioning, whole individual, mentally, physically, and spiritually. We're going to take a short break. Tonight on the show, we have Debbie Edwards. And I'll let you know more about her when we get back. Hello, listeners and friends. On tonight's show, we will focus on anger. I don't know why, it just came up in my spirit today that's something that maybe a lot of people are dealing with, either privately in their homes or outwardly amongst friends and family, but it can be a very emotional experience. And anger sometimes it's hard to control. So tonight we want to focus on controlling it, how to release it, and how to manage it in an effective way. We also want to talk about the mind and body connection. How does anger affect our health? You know, here, that's one of our platforms. We want to make sure that you're a whole, fully functioning individual mentally, physically, and spiritually. So how does our emotions affect our overall health? Well, I'm happy you asked. Let me tell you. I've found through personal experience and from just reading and knowledge that anger and different emotions can affect our health. It can affect our health. I do know that, and you've heard me say it on the show before, that unforgiveness can sometimes lead to cancer. And sometimes anger or bitterness can turn to resentment. And sometimes you may feel like a gnawing pain in your stomach, or you may feel a pain in your, a sensation in your stomach or your gut. That comes from your emotions literally affecting your nervous system and your intestines. And just to get more in depth about how it can affect you, it can actually make you sick. What we want to do is first try to recognize your emotions and understand why you're having them. Everybody gets angry. The Bible even says not to let the sun go down on your wrath. Everybody has emotions, but everybody deals with them in different ways. So first, and myself, I'm speaking for myself, I have anger and I've had times where I've let my anger get the best of me. But what we find, friends, listeners, is the best thing to do when you feel angry, find out the things that trigger your anger. When you feel that emotion starting to rage up on the inside of you, find a place to go and be quiet. Meditate, pray, whatever it is you do to connect with your higher power, do that. Go off to yourself. Never, ever, ever try to settle or talk to a spouse when you're angry. Matter of fact, don't talk to anybody when you're angry. Find some time to yourself. So with that being said, friends, I want to introduce our next guest. I'm so elated to have her on tonight. She is such a wonderful person, and I'll have you know that she came on with us at the last minute, it was kind of short notice that I let her know, and she was so generous to come on the show with us this evening. She is an international medium, author, pen and ink artist, photographer, and she's also a radio host. She's a comrade of mine. And she has taught many classes, many workshops. She's done many forms of meditation. She's conducted private and group sessions in the media. She's been on countless radio programs. She also has an extensive writing career. She has written on such topics as religious and biblical philosophies, travel, publishing, writing, internet marketing, and so on. She also published a book. She's a self-published author. Her book is Voices Speak, A Beginner's Guide to Spirit Communication, which was published in 2007. And without further ado, let me just introduce her. Debbie, are you there?
I sure am. Hi, Miranda. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, what a great night to do this, and I really appreciate the invitation. And, you know, even though we organized at the last moment, but, you know, what a great topic you brought up as far as anger. And I think it's a really important thing to talk about right now. You know, a lot of people are going through some, you know, pretty major things. And so I think, you know, some solutions, it's great to offer something for people to be able to utilize, you know, to help them with that throughout their daily lives.
Exactly, exactly. So can you just let us know where these emotions come from and how they tie in with our physical well-being?
Yeah, you know, and I'm glad you asked that too, because, you know, really I think it's all developed on our perceptions, you know, really where we all perceive, you know, situations that are going on around us, whether they be global or personal. But what I've come to really recognize, and it's interesting we're talking about anger today, because it's something that I talked about earlier today, not through a session, but just casual conversation. But, you know, it comes to the realization that a lot of people are angry over situations they feel they have no control over. So whether it be intimate relationships, you know, where it's misunderstandings, or, you know, whether it be things that are going on economically, politically, socially, globally, even environmentally, you know, especially in the wake of what's been happening with Japan. But, you know, I think a lot of people are experiencing tremendous tension right now, and they're being squeezed from pretty much every aspect. But it's really all about perception and being able to, you know that we have control over our intimate sphere of influence, but some things are out of our control. And I think, you know, it's up to us really to temper our anger, but not to allow ourselves to be inundated by all these things that are hitting us, whether it's energetic or if it's projection, but even just our reaction to a lot of things that are going on, and especially considering now that we have so many more forms of media and telecommunications, and, you know, we're exposed to so many more things now than we used to be. You know, life isn't as simple. I think a lot of people can agree. You know, we just don't have the simplicity that we used to.
Right. I agree. Our lives are so complex, and it can be very overwhelming. You mentioned something very, very, very interesting. You said our perceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Anger is developed on our personal perceptions of ideas or things that people have said or may have done.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we handle that when we have a perception that someone is trying to hurt us or doing things out of our control, like you said? How should we react?
Sure. Well, and there are a couple ways too, you know, and I mean, really when we look at the integrity of a relationship, you know, let's say it's a parent and child, and let's say it's the child that's dealing with a lot of anger management, let's say, you know, between the ages of 14, 15, and 16, it's not like...
Oh, yes.
You know, yeah, and it's not like the parent can just disown the child or the child can just move out. So a lot of situations, you know, we're still put together, and so it's up to really being able to manage it. But I think, you know, energetic communication is very, very important, because a lot of people misunderstand each other's internal language, internal dialogue, But I think also, too, you know, we really energetically, we project our thoughts, we project our emotions. And, you know, when we're personally connected to someone, especially, you know, for example, looking at parent and child, you know, we absorb each other's emotions, and we can tell if we feel under attack, or we can tell if we feel, you know, that the other person's not listening or being disrespectful. And I think a lot of tempers flare because of reaction to those emotions, even though they're not verbalized. So I think really to kind of come back to a basic drawing board to communicate more appropriately, and there's always ways to be able to acknowledge things without necessarily coming across as aggressive. But I think a lot of parents sometimes get really frustrated. That frustration transfers to the children, you know, and you can just feel the tension in the room. So it's really a matter of, you know, recognizing that, you know, we're not necessarily in control of, you know, that child's reaction or response to things. And, you know, we can have guidelines and boundaries, but we can't necessarily control everything. So I think as parents, or even as a spouse, you know, it's our ability to realize we, you know, it's not up to us to control the behavior and emotions and reactions of other people. And if it comes across as something we don't appreciate or something we don't like, it's up to us how we react. So I think it really brings back a sense of empowerment and a sense of balance, especially.
Exactly. You're making so many wonderful points right now that I'm having a hard time figuring out which way to go. It's also poignant. It's also informative. Let's take it from a standpoint of a mother and a child, or a parent and a child, mm-hmm. and then we'll take it from a spouse's point of view.
Okay.
Let's say parent and child, and those teenage years, like you mentioned, are horrible. Let's just say what it is. It's horrible. It can be horrible for some people. I've had, you know, friends who've gone through it. In my own family, with my sister, we went through it. You said one thing about we project our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so true. Have you ever noticed if you're having a bad day and you're upset, why is it that every person you run into is upset as well? And you end up transferring that negative energy from person to person. Everywhere you go, you're inundated with anger.
Sure.
All because maybe you started out with it that morning and it followed you throughout the whole day.
Yeah, and well, you know, and that's part of where we really connect energetically through particular vibrational currents. For example, each emotion, you know, is a projection of a certain vibration. It's kind of like, you know, if you were to take musical notes, you know, and it's like a track like, where, you know, it's like we send out particular notes, particular energies and frequencies, and it connects with the same source. So, you know, for example, let's say, you know, we're dealing with the sense of rejection that day, you know, and that has a particular vibration to it. So we wear that energy, you know, we put that energy out, and even if our face hides it or our words hide it even better, that energy is still very visible, you know, in that way. So, you know, we're connecting with other people around us that match that vibration. It's like a magnetic aspect in a way. So, you know, let's say you go to the grocery store and the person, you know, that's ringing up your groceries is also feeling rejected by, say, something else. And so you have that shared experience, but it doesn't have to keep multiplying. It doesn't have to multiply in that way. It can be completely shifted and changed. And I think that's where really, if it's prayer, if it's meditation, visualization, even if it's physical activity, we all have that place of Zen that we can go to, you know, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, that can not only neutralize that, but it can completely shift that vibration so we can stop that cycle, or, you know, stop that mirrored effect that keeps multiplying. You know, and I can totally relate. Just a couple years ago, or not years ago, sorry, a couple days ago with the April Fools, and then we're also in Mercury retrograde, and I'm just, you know, it was probably one of the worst days I've had in a long time, and I thought, oh my gosh, okay, what else could keep happening? But, you know, it was one of those things. I didn't stop myself and say, okay, I need to shift, you know, the way I'm perceiving and reacting to this, and I need clarity. And I think sometimes a lot of us forget to ask for clarity, you know, that spirit can deliver to us, You know, whether it's our guides, it's people that we love who've passed on, you know, archetypal figures. But I really think that we are such an open channel anyway, that we can receive clarity so that we don't have to, you know, maintain an angry posture based on misinformation or misinterpretation.
Wonderful, wonderful. So your recommendations to us are to, one, find your place of Zen, go off to a quiet place, find your place of Zen, ask for clarity about your situation, and then project that peace. Receive your peace and project it out. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Thanks. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, no, I really think it's something that gives us more of a sense of control over what is taking place. And, you know, going back to where we were originally talking, I think a lot of anger comes from the sense of or the perception of the lack of control. You know, and, you know, even taking it to, let's say, the standpoint of health-related situations. Let's say, you know, we have a spouse who is a caretaker, you know, of their spouse, and let's say, you know, they're in the death and dying process. You know, we have hospice, we have a lot of things, you know, and we're going through being strong and, you know, providing any type of, you know, love and care and service that we can. But on the flip side, we're angry because, you know, this is out of our control, and what do we do? And, you know, so I think it's just a matter of recognizing there's some things we just can't change, but to accept the lesson and the beauty for what it is so that we can learn from it, so we don't have to hang on to that perception longer than it's necessary to grow. Because I don't think spirit wants us to suffer. I think it's just a matter of we create our own suffering because we have a hard time moving through things, you know, and I think change is difficult, especially being that, you know, human beings, we work in cycles. You know, we have 24 hours in a day, you know, the sun rises, it sets, we get into these cycles of monotony, and it's very difficult, I think, when change happens. We have a hard time adjusting, I think, in general. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think, yeah, absolutely, to find that place of Zen, but communicate, because if we don't communicate with each other, we lose that opportunity to progress and to move past whatever type of hurts or resentments that there are.
Well said. Well said. With that being said, listeners, remember to call in, because this is your hour of power. So call in. Feel free to ask Debbie a question. She's very well versed. Feel free to call in. The toll-free number is 1-888-815-9756. You can also call 530-327-7602. Line 2 is 530-413-4510, and line 3 is 530-413-4522. Listeners and friends, we're going to take a short break right now, and when we come back, we'll talk more to Debbie about anger, how to release it, how to rechannel it, and also how to deal with change, because we know that anger can come from a lack of control. So we'll talk more about that when we come back. Thanks for listening. Hello, listeners. We're back with your Hour of Power. I'm your host, Miranda Campbell. And you know that our goal here is to educate, empower, and to entertain you. We hope that you become a whole, fully functioning individual, mentally, physically, and spiritually. And tonight we're connecting the physical and the spiritual, the mind and body connection, our emotions, and how they affect our bodies, and how they affect our overall health. You know, earlier in the show, I was telling you about some emotions and how they tie into your health. Sometimes anger can develop into a tension headache. Sometimes guilt, resentment, or bitterness can develop into an ulcer or stomach pain. These different emotions do manifest themselves in our body and through sickness. So we know that our bodies are a temple and that our Creator never wanted us to, intended for us to suffer or to feel pain or to be sick. I believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and He also took upon Him our sickness as well. And He's given us so much here on this earth to make us healthy, things that we can draw from to create vitality and health. So with that being said, we want to find natural ways to heal those ailments. So if you want to improve your emotional health, one way is to express your feelings in appropriate ways. And Debbie and I were speaking on that. Sometimes communication is, people are misunderstood, and there's a lack of communication. So when that anger comes upon you, find your place of zen, and then once you're zenned out, then express your feelings in an appropriate way. Two is to live a balanced life. Number three is to develop resilience. People with resilience are able to cope with stress in a healthy way. Resilience can be learned and strengthened with different strategies. One could be having a social support, going out with friends, going to church, going to meditate, whatever you do, going for walks in the park, going yoga or sewing, whatever it is that helps you stay relaxed. And keeping a positive view of yourself. Two, accepting change. We just spoke about that. Debbie mentioned that sometimes we just can't accept change. So accepting change and keeping things in perspective helps you develop resilience. Calm your mind and your body. Find relaxing ways, stretching, breathing deeply. And lastly, take care of yourself. Sometimes when we don't know how to handle our emotions, we can overeat. We tend to abuse alcohol and drugs. And these are unhealthy ways of dealing with our emotions. This information is courtesy of familydoctor.org. It's mind and body connection. You can go to familydoctor.org to get more information on that. And with that being said, listeners and friends, I want to carry on this conversation with Debbie. Debbie, are you there?
I sure am.
Okay, thank you again for joining us on tonight.
Sure.
We were talking about, before we went to break, we were talking about finding ways to accept change and learning the lessons and how anger comes from feeling that you don't have control.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we were talking about teenagers and relationships with teenagers. They definitely want control, and they all feel like they don't have it. So... any comments on that?
Yeah, you know, and it's a really interesting thing because, you know, I think as all of nature evolves, you know, I think we as well as a human source, as, you know, divine essence or, you know, really as humanity as a whole, we're evolving. And I think, you know, respectively, our children, especially even being introduced to a lot of technology, new ways of learning, different types of, you know, influences and things like that, we have some really incredible bright minds. but, you know, they're contained within a young physical body. So I think where a lot of the conflict is coming from is that not only are they being overstimulated and overwhelmed, but at the same time, they're developing mentally and emotionally very, very quickly. And so it becomes a difficult position of power, you know. It really, how much power do they surrender, personal power, how much power do they, you know, choose to try and gain too young in life? So for me, what I've discovered working with a lot of teens and even younger group preteens is to be able to empower them with certain types of large responsibilities that can give them that sense of, okay, I'm accomplishing something, but it's not in a negative aspect where, you know, it's creating conflict with my parents or that it's creating conflict with my teachers, but to be able to give them a way to really produce and to, you know, allow them that room to explore who they are, whether it's, you know, college prep classes at a very young age, you know, online type of stuff, but really being able to articulate, you know, practical conversations and to not save necessarily the big topics until they get, you know, to an age to where they've already learned it, you know, through other influences. So, you know, of course, that's a personal choice when it comes to religion, you know, intimacy, things about their body and things like that. But I really think a lot of these kids, you know, have just these adult comprehensive minds. And I think a lot of their frustration and anger comes from the sense of feeling they are not being understood, they're not being given freedom, and they're not being given the opportunity to, you know, show the world who they really are. So it becomes a matter of them fighting their own true identity. So,
right.
You know, and that's something that also, too, we're even seeing a lot of toddlers start to express, you know, a lot of dominance in the family group. And so, you know, socially too, looking at the way that, you know, our methods of discipline has changed and we're trying different methods. But I think together as a family, it's important to integrate children into practical discussions, but also energetically too. If a parent has a difficult time communicating, you know, with their teen, you know, because we know teens, you know, we kind of clam up and go to our friends instead of parents. But to be able to even mentally project, let's say at night through prayer or meditation, but to project, you know, asking them in a spiritual sense, nonverbally, you know, for clarity and, you know, whether it's even praying together or if it's something that, you know, separately, but to be able to project the question, you know, please let's communicate, you know, I'm not a threat to you and, you know, let's work on this, that type of thing, because it creates a breakthrough energy-wise, you know, where it's
exactly.
Yeah, it's like an invitation for the child in, you know, inviting them into the parent's mind, into their heart, you know, into their lives in a way that is non-threatening to them, so they don't feel like...
Exactly, because the parent is still the authority in the situation, and they want to maintain that sense of authority and respect because they are the parent. But you made a great point of giving them some type of responsibility or something to produce. And that's great, because that gives them, they are able to channel their energy in another way. So maybe they're not as focused on getting their way. They have their energy on creating something. So whether it's sports or fashion or a part-time job or something to make them feel responsible or like they're an adult.
Absolutely. And I totally agree with that, because, you know, it's something that, you know, if they have too much time, idle time, you know, it could be something is quite discouraging. But, you know, looking at a lot of the things that our teens are having to face now, but beyond that, because of technology, not only is it, you know, such a wonder for adults, looking at all of the things now that kids are exposed to that really provoke a lot of strong emotional reactions. And, you know, looking at it even in a positive aspect, you know, say we have a lot of teens now that are really proactive through environmentalist type of activities or political interests and things like that. And I think it's important to give children, you know, really a lot of freedom when it comes to exploring their passions, you know, whether they develop their own support group or their own online group or, you know, things like that. They give them a positive way, to communicate with other teens, but also adults, and helps provide an integration.
Because, like, right, exactly. Because, like you said, and we tend to sound like our parents now. Remember how they used to tell us, well, kids weren't like they were when we were growing up, and now we're saying the same thing. So, la-di-da. Mother, because it's indeed the truth, because we are constantly evolving. It's amazing how much we evolve from generation to generation, and our kids are definitely inundated with a lot of technology. They have access to more things. So like you said, they can channel that energy in positive ways, develop online groups and blogs, and develop online and become activists online and get involved in things that are positive. So you're definitely right. But the premise is the same. The bottom line, they're still teenagers like we were, with the same emotions, feelings, heart, and mind. They just have more stuff. You know, we have Sega Genesis and what, Nintendo? And so we had things like that. Now they have more stuff.
Yeah.
But the premise is the same. They want to be heard, and they want to be seen. But once again, at the end of the day, the parent is the authority, and they deserve respect that parents should have, and they deserve to live in a house with peace.
Absolutely. Well, and we're finding, too, that a lot of children are really exploring a lot of new things that, let's say, you know, the parents haven't necessarily explored.
Exactly.
You know, their differences, especially when it comes
Facebook.
To... Yeah, exactly. And when we're looking even at spirituality, too, a lot of children are being born with particular sensitivities that are just absolutely incredible energetically. You know, so to communicate and to be able to recognize what's happening to them so that they can assimilate to it, and not only that, but create a sense of normalcy with it. And I think a lot of teens, so they're able to, you know, hear, see, and feel a lot of things going on much more, say, than, you know, 50 years ago, how we used to be just as a human.
Well, that's true, because especially with people being laid off, with the career transitions that people are facing today, there is so much uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
Things are not certain anymore. You know, where back in the days, if somebody was a steel worker, they were a steel worker until they died. Now people have to change jobs, and they're probably going to change jobs maybe 5 times in a lifetime. Things are just not as certain as they used to be, and that can weigh heavy on teenagers and children in general. All the things like in Japan, the earthquake, can you imagine what maybe some of those kids are going through right now? So definitely they are able to. And you know what, Debbie?
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, parents didn't talk about things that were going on, so a lot of the times kids didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's true. Yeah, with communication, it's so essential. And, you know, it's a good point that you brought up as far as, you know, looking at a lot of the things that are going on globally. And, you know, I think that communication is important. But, you know, yeah, these kids are dealing with a lot at a very young age, you know. And
yeah, and they're exposed to it. They can go on the CNN.com and find out things that we don't talk about necessarily with them. They have access to things, and they can find out things easier now. With that being said, let's move to a spouse, to an adult relationship, maybe a girlfriend, boyfriend, husband,
sure.
Wife. How to deal with anger in those relationships.
Sure. And, well, when we're looking at it, too, we're looking at a lot of details. So especially when it comes to personal history, you know, we all have, you know, hurts. We all have past, you know, painful moments, things that have developed, you know, almost like a triggered, you know, experience. So, for example, if we haven't healed from a prior hurt or from a prior heartbreak, you know, et cetera, a lot of times we end up transferring that type of pain and hurt into the expectation that, you know, the person we're with now is going to project that same type of behavior. So with that expectation, we're continually putting out, you know, that energy, and sometimes it creates that defensive posture with a spouse or with a boyfriend, with a girlfriend, and a lot of times it's like we bring that conditioning into the experience. So, you know, for relationships, when it comes to anger, I think the most important thing is to recognize the person for who they are and not as, you know, a mirrored or semi-mirrored image of the person that, you know, hurt them the most. So I think sometimes we transfer that type of pain and not really realizing it, but, you know, that projection ends up, yeah, creating expected situations. Similar, you know, with the law of attraction, you know, if you are really intent on, you know, needing to resolve something emotional, you know, the universe says, oh, hey, okay, you know, so they'll present a partner that can, you know, provide that type of experience. But we don't have to go into, you know, the painful lesson. It can also be something that we can negate if we understand that we're part of that process. You know, I mean, there's so many different examples, but, you know, of course, communication is important, but it's also important for people to own responsibility for, you know, their part in situations. So let's say, you know, a spouse or a boyfriend isn't doing what, you know, she wants him to do. For example, let's say he's staying out late or, you know, he works long hours and she's resentful. It's important, I think, for her to recognize where the resentments really come from. And a lot of times they stem years back from the way that they associated, you know, relationships, say, with their parents. Let's say, you know, her dad worked long hours and she was resentful of time not spent with her. So really the root, you know what I mean? It lies within prior experiences a lot of times. And if we can resolve a lot of these insecurities that we have as men and women, I think we can enter relationships brand new. You know, it becomes wisdom rather than, I don't want to say, you know, a lot of different memories that then become that collective. So, you know, it taints that opportunity, really, for something really good and solid to grow, but to accept people as
Debbie,
they are.
Debbie, with that being, since you said that, and that was a great point, let's use an example of that lady whose boyfriend or husband is staying out late, mm-hmm. and it's from an emotion that she had from her father not being at home most of the time or being out late. So she ends up, by law of attraction, attracting these relationships where the guy, and let's say it happens repetitively, because you have the same experience, but it's with different people, mm-hmm. but it's experience. So let's just say she keeps running into these guys who present the same problem. How does, now that we've recognized it, how do we resolve it? How does this person resolve it so that it won't happen again or so that it can stop happening in the current relationship?
Sure, sure. Well, and I think there's a couple ways. First, I think it's important for her to evaluate, you know, does she want to maintain this current partner in her life? Does she want to keep this person? Let's say she does. So I would say the solution there is that she find ways to find self-fulfillment, but also to communicate with him, you know, this is how I'm responding, this is my response, my reaction. Because a lot of times, if a woman feels shut out emotionally, she will shut herself off physically. So you have this duality, you know, this they play off of each other, where, you know, let's say she denies physical contact or physical connection as, you know, as a residual reaction to her feeling a sense of disconnect and betrayal. So
right.
I think it's important that she doesn't use forms of, you know, retaliation or revenge, even if she's not meaning to, but to really evaluate that. But then also, too, for her to find a way to compromise, but also for him to compromise and really start to work together. So if they don't have a lot of time together, make it quality time. You know, turn off the TV, go for walks together, things like that, so that she's finding quality rather than looking at it as quantity. Because let's say, you know, he has an incredible career, but it's very demanding time-wise, you know, and we wouldn't want him to sacrifice the integrity of his career based on an insecurity because of something from the past. So, you know, so there's ways to work through it, and that's just an example.
Yes, yes, just an example. And that is very true. I found that in friends, in the lives of some of my friends, where these situations keep coming up. And they keep, and I've talked about that on the past show, where you keep reliving the same situation. So you said that is because you haven't dealt with an emotion or a hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, I really...
You're presenting it to the universe, so the universe is saying, okay, let me help you deal with that. So it keeps the situation.
Sure. And I mean, you know, really it comes down to the real reason why we're actually here, you know, on this earth to learn and to grow. But, you know, there's a lot of things that we don't have closure to, or there's a lot of things that we don't tie off and resolve. So therefore, it kind of lingers. It's like strings attached, you know. It reminds me of like a balloon that's floating in the air, you know, and it's still got the string attached to it, and it's not really totally free. I think until we can free ourselves of, you know, things from the past, whether they be with family or societal, or if it's a judgment or a discrimination, all of our perceptions, you know, really I think need a makeover, because when we can recognize that it's not necessarily that our heartbreaks or hurts were intentionally caused, you know, I think that can even relieve us a lot of the pain, because I think a lot of times we maintain this anger out of a sense of feeling that it was intentionally caused, you know, against us.
Exactly. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll deal more with how dealing with these emotions and dealing with these situations in our lives, how if we resolve them, they won't play out, and they won't come out as anger or bitterness or guilt or all these other emotions that we feel. So like you said, if we resolve these things and deal with them, these issues, then they won't harvest themselves in negative ways. So we'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk more with Debbie. And thank you for listening. Remember to live, laugh, and love. Hello, listeners. Thank you for tuning in. It's your Hour of Power, and I'm your host, Miranda Campbell. And remember, our goal is to educate, empower, and entertain you. We want you to become a fully functioning, whole individual, mentally, physically, and spiritually. And tonight, we're talking about our emotions, and one specific emotion is anger that we're dealing with and talking about tonight. And our guest on the show is Debbie Edwards. And of course, we want to know more about her. She has so much knowledge and so much poise and so much to share with us. We want to know more about her and her background. So, Debbie, I know that you are also a medium, and that you have also connected individuals with past loved ones or loved ones who may have passed away. Mm-hmm. How do they contact you?
Well, there's a couple different ways. First of all, my website is probably the easiest way. It's DebbieEdwardsInternational.com. They're also welcome to message me through my email, which my email is voicesspeak, with two S's, voicesspeak@yahoo.com. They're also welcome to get a hold of me actually through multiple social media networks under the profile name of Debbie Edwards Medium through MySpace, through LinkedIn, through Facebook, through Twitter, so you should be able to connect with me there. But yeah, no, I'm definitely open to connecting with people. You know, I do sessions with people, you know, in other countries. You know, energy for me works the same as it does, you know, in person as it does over the phone. So really, I don't look at, you know, the aspect of physical, you know, being in person as being anything better or worse. It's really a very equal experience.
Wonderful, wonderful. And once again, folks, it's www.debbieedwardsinternational.com. So that's www.debbieedwardsinternational.com. And you can, like she said, send her an email at voicesspeak. That's voices, so that's two S's, at yahoo.com. So go ahead and contact Debbie. She'll be more than happy to help you with all of that. So once again, you can contact Debbie. You've done Can you tell me more about the medium? I don't know anything about it.
Well, mediumship
more
really.
About?
Sure. It's basically connecting energetically with people that are no longer embodied. You know, we could consider it people that have crossed over, people that have passed on, people that are in spirit. And the way that I kind of explain it is this way. It's like recalling a memory that's not my own. The way that, you know, we communicate with each other is really visually based, and sometimes it's based with sensations. For example, you know, physical things that I'll feel, but usually it comes through in a semi-auditory type of connection, but mainly through visual images that I'll get mentally. So it's like, it's again, it's like a memory. But the interesting part,
well, maybe... Example that we use, maybe you can get that girl to contact her dad who kept staying out late, and so maybe she can resolve.
Yeah, you know, and that's really important for people to understand that, you know, whether we're trying to connect with someone in spirit who's passed or someone who's still here, we have just as strong of a connection psychically, energetically, and really through the passion of emotion that we have through that attachment, you know, we really can accomplish some incredible things. You know, it's kind of the same thing, for example, if you haven't spoken to a friend in over a year and all of a sudden they pop into your head that day, and guess what? They end up emailing or calling that day. So it's that's an example there, you know, and spirit, people in spirit really do, you know, make the attempt to communicate with us. And if they didn't, I wouldn't be able, or people like myself wouldn't be able to receive that message. So it is a two-way connection and a two-way communication. So it's really an incredible process, but, you know, we're all capable of it, of receiving that connection in different ways.
You know what? And I used to have my own thoughts about this, and I say used to as in a minute ago. I used to have my own thoughts about this as a Christian, but just talking to you has opened up my eyes, because I don't believe that God is in a box. I do believe that He is in everything and everywhere,
yeah.
And sometimes we can get into things and manipulate it. But what I feel like what you do is, you communicate by way of the Holy Spirit. I feel like it's, I would call it the Holy Spirit that communicates to through you. And I can definitely relate to that and understand that, and I think that's a powerful thing. And I think, like you said, we all have the capability, but most people just don't tune in to that part of their spirit. But, people can contact you. You can think about a person, and not long, but just a little quick thought, and you release it into the universe, and then that person calls you,
mm-hmm.
or they call you, or contact you, or you see them somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think the more that we're in tune with the way we perceive our, you know, signals that we come in contact with, the more we're able to identify if it's something coming from us or something coming to us. And, you know, really people, you know, for example, let's say two spouses, they go through a divorce and they separate with each other. They don't have any children, so there's really no, you know, continual communication. But let's just say a year or two goes by, and all of a sudden it's like they keep dwelling on memories, you know, memories of certain things that keep popping up in their head. And, you know, they could be doing a housework or whatever, and all of a sudden that person again is in their head. What this tells me is that the other person is actually thinking about them, and they're pulling at them because they're trying to resolve that conflict. So even if they're not in physical connection or communication, they can project, you know, let's be at peace, let's resolve this conflict with each other. I'm not, you know, your enemy, I'm not a threat to you, and really let's resolve this. And a lot of times just that intention, you know, can bleed over into the dream world, can, you know, really bring that person a sense of peace and especially release, because I think that's what we're all looking for in situations like that, is to be released of that emotion or that memory or that trauma. So it's really being able to find closure, but we can do that without even being in physical contact with each other.
Really? How can you do that?
Yeah, and well, it's just a matter of, you know, if it's through prayer, through meditation, but that intention, and we project that intention of clarity and closure and resolution with the person that we need that with, and what it does is it creates that connection, that connection through that intended, you know, emotion or that need to really resolve. And so whether that creates an open door for those two people to communicate, you know, let's say they run into each other shortly after that intention is projected, Or let's say, you know, that other person calls, or through a friend of a friend, we hear about them, and we get an update. But, you know, if we really need closure, you know, spirit does provide that ability and that access. But sometimes it comes a lot later, and it comes a lot later because it takes us time sometimes to work through our reaction. And so, you know, we need to come to a place of being neutral in a sense, and then that's when closure can come, so we're not so emotionally triggered by it, but we can have, you know, the best result with it.
Wonderful. Very true. Very true and well said. So, folks, you heard it here. Send out that energy or just the intent in your mind to resolve things, and the spirit will make a way for you to do that. And definitely it all ties back to emotion and anger. Like you said, sometimes it takes time to deal with the anger and process the emotions so that when you do come together or reconnect with that person, you're able to do it peacefully. So very true. Very true. So is there anything else that you'd like to add to the conversation tonight about anger and emotions?
Yeah, you know, it's really about just ownership, you know, owning the anger that's your own, but really don't own the anger that's not your own. So if you're in an experience or a relationship that's dysfunctional, or for a better word, you know, that really is a conflict-based relationship, and especially if there's a lot of anger, you know, don't own emotions that are not your own, and create good boundaries, but also, you know, a sensible view of what you're creating to be able to, you know, take ownership, but, you know, so that you can release that experience. But we're in control of our emotions as well as our response and our reactions. So really it's up to us how we view what happens to us. And we're not, none of us really are victims. We're just participants in dynamics that we have a choice of whether or not we want to be part of or not. So, you know, I think we really have more freedom than what we think we do sometimes.
Can you say that again? We are not victims. We are just participants in the dynamic.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we really do have more freedom than we think we do. We have the freedom to say no, and we have the freedom to say yes. And, you know, really it's up to us if we want to continue these cycles. We can release ourselves. We just need to give ourselves permission sometimes. And I think that sometimes is the hardest thing, especially self-forgiveness, forgiving ourselves so we don't beat ourselves up, and that creates more anger.
So. Get that on a T-shirt. We are not victims.
We aren't. We're not victims at all. We're just participants. And, you know, really the universe brings to us what we expect and what we intend. So it's up to us, you know, intend carefully, you know, place careful intention out there into the universe, and really, you know, bring to your life and to yourself abundance and joy and peacefulness, because everybody deserves that.
Indeed, indeed. Intend carefully, listeners. Wow, that's powerful. So how do we intend carefully? I hate to sound so elementary by asking.
No, I love the questions, you know, and really it's if we have to sit down and write a list, if we have to sit down and journal it, or if we even just project it mentally, what is the most amazing, the best, the most incredible outcome we could ever expect of our lives? You know, be ambitious as we need to be, whether it's, you know, just tremendous emotional fulfillment, whatever it is, but to really intend the absolute best we could receive for ourselves, but even beyond that, to ask our spirit guides, to ask, you know, our archangels, or, you know, people that we love who've passed, ask them to help assist to bring the abundance that is best suited for us, because sometimes we don't have the clarity and we don't have the perception we need to ask for what we really need rather than what we want. So, you know, it's like even in relationships, if we want, you know, the love and admiration of someone we're pining for, but they don't return it, a lot of times we get angry. But it's not so much that. It's just a matter of spirit saying, you know, there's another partner that's coming for you, or your timing is off. There's always a reason. So to ask clarity for the reasons, but to really ask for the right abundance that is meant for us, that can help us the best to be our best at that time.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Debbie, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
You're welcome.
I'm sure you've helped so many people. You've helped me. This show has just been so informative.
Awesome.
And if you want to hear more from Debbie, or speak more with Debbie on a one-on-one basis to maybe connect with a loved one or just to connect with yourself in a more spiritual way, you can contact her at www.debbie, and that's D-E-B-B-I-E, edwardsinternational.com. You can also shoot over an email to her at voicesspeak@yahoo.com. And we want to remember to intend carefully. We want to write down our expectations and intentions. And like Debbie said, we want to ask our spirit guide, our archangels, our loved ones who passed away, because sometimes we don't know what to ask for. We don't know the best thing to ask for. So have them intercede for us and have them ask for the best thing that's for us, because sometimes we don't know the best thing for us.
Absolutely.
So some intervention on your behalf to guide you to the best situation for you. And like Debbie said, anger, sometimes that emotion comes from a lack of control. So we have to remember, friends, that we are not in control. We don't have control of everything, but we can't control ourselves and how we react. We can't control situations, but we can control ourselves and how we react. We want to recognize patterns. We want to recognize patterns in our lives and understand that maybe it's something that the universe is trying to get you to deal with and you're not dealing with it. So find a way to recognize it. Find your place of zen and deal with the issue. Once again, you can contact Debbie. Maybe you and she can deal with it. She can find ways to help you deal with it. Debbie, before we go, mm-hmm. is there any last comments you want to give to the listeners really quick?
As far as just closing, in closing sentiments?
Yes.
Okay. You know, really, guys, it's all about empowering yourself and really taking hold of your future and of your life and recognizing that you really have so much more available to you and so much more accessible. If you don't like something about your life, you absolutely have the liberty to change it regardless of your circumstances. And it kind of reminds me of the story where they say, you know, you can lock someone up in prison, you can take away absolutely everything they have, but you cannot take away their hope, their dreams, their integrity, and who they really are inside. So, we're really only victims if we choose to be, but again, we're just more participants than anything else. And I think that, you know, the more we recognize we have the power to make the decisions that we really want in life, I think the more smoothly it will go. You know, we need to stop getting in our own way and stop tripping over our own feet.
Wonderful. You have the power. Indeed. And this has been your Hour of Power. I'm your host, Miranda Campbell, and I'll see you soon. Remember to live, laugh, and love.